today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your glory, Lord. Thank you for your glory. Lord, we're the gates. We're the gates. Your gates open. Thank you, Lord. We receive your presence today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You know, there's something on the Lord's heart this morning. You believe Jesus is Lord? You believe that? See, you believe in Jesus, but is he your Lord? If he's your Lord, then life is different for you. Because when he's your Lord, he takes care of what he needs to take care of. And you're not your own anymore. You're not your own. You belong to him, see? And so that's a surrendering right there. Jesus is Lord. In other words, he's Lord over this church. He's Lord over my life. He's Lord over all my decisions. He's Lord over everything. He's Lord over my body. He's Lord over my family. He's Lord over my children. Amen. That's the way it works. So it's not just believing. It's not just believing. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, Master. He's our Master. We're redeemed. That word, I'm actually going to do this on Pursuing Truth later this week, but that word redeemed, that means you're delivered out of the slave market. That's what it actually means in the Greek. You're delivered out of the slave market. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're not a slave to pain. You're not a slave to other people's oppression or the devil's oppression or poverty or failure. Or opinions. How about that? You're not a slave to anyone's opinions. Praise God. You're free. You're no longer slave. No longer. You're just not anymore. You're redeemed. You're redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that we're redeemed, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. We're redeemed. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was thinking, the Lord had me on this trail. He said, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. So Christianese is really easy for you. So, the Lord is prompting me there on Pursuing the Truth to go back and tell people what words we use all the time means. What does Christ mean? What does redeem mean? What is the tithe? What are all that? Where does that come from? What does it mean? You know, there are people who are young that don't know this stuff yet. People don't know what it means to be redeemed. And you could live for 10 years and kind of go, well, I guess I kind of know. I kind of know what righteousness is. Righteousness means you're right with God. He made you right. But see, these things, we just spill them out because we're all so used to it. So we're going to fill in the blanks for people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, one thing that is for sure in the scripture is that healing belongs to the body of Christ. So if you need prayer today, if you'll come down, I'm going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone who needs prayer, the anointing removes the burden. The anointing takes care of it. The Bible says over in Peter that by his stripes. Okay, there's a word. There's a word, stripes. What does that mean? It's not the gas station. That's pretty. It's not the gas station. It's the scars on his back that he took so you could be healed. He took 39 beatings on his back. That should cover every category of what could be hurting you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now, the anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the anointing right now in Jesus' name. Woo! Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Right now for the anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Right now for that anointing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take care of it right now. Thank you for it, Lord. Right now in Jesus' name. Right now, the anointing. Right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah, right now. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healing always comes. Give God some glory, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Did you have some turkey? Was it good? God is good. Had some good fellowship, and me and Journey had a good time. Praise the Lord. We had some good food and enjoyed visiting with John and Rachel for a little while, and it was good. It's good to have some neighbors. We got neighbors. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So who went the furthest? Who went out of state? Danny and Jordan. And they're still gone. Come home. But they didn't go for Thanksgiving. They went because Grandma went to heaven. But they're it's snowing there today, y'all. So praise the Lord. They'll be back. Thank you, Jesus. Gabe, where's Gabe? Thank you, Art. That was great. Good job. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Are you ready? Let's receive our offering this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to do this today. So if you'll please rise for our confession time. Lord, I bring my tithes and offering to you today as an act of worship. I honor you with my tithe and offering today as the source of my supply. As a tither, I declare the windows of heaven are open unto me today. I receive blessings being poured out into me in such a manner that I do not have room enough to receive it. I receive the promise of the scripture that protects those who tithe. No devourer or destroyer is allowed access to steal my harvest in Jesus' name. As a giver, I stand in the promise that says, as I give, it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People are always giving to me because I am a giver. I declare I always have more than enough, excess and overflow, and every need I ever have shall be provided for in Jesus' name. I am wearing the blessing. I am wearing a mantle of increase. I prophesy increase and overflow. I decree that each year my finances grow to another level of increase and abundance in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, you may receive the offering today, and if you would like to text to give, you can text VCHL to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift.
I want to say something about, I noticed something in there that I want to talk about while they're receiving today. Listen to this scripture. It says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. That's interesting, isn't it? Because that's what happens to some people. As soon as it comes in, it's gone. Yeah. Right? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So have a look at that. What's going on? So, and then he goes on to talk about making sure that God's house is finished and done and being worked on and taken care of. But here's a thought actually behind this right here. There are a lot of faithful givers, but they're thoughtless givers. Okay? they're thoughtless givers. Listen to what the scripture says. This is, you know this well, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. It says, "This I say to you, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Now, y'all sow bountifully. Listen to what it says right there with it. "Every man according as he purposes in his heart." In other words, when you sow seed, when you give, when you tithe, you're doing it on purpose. You have purpose for it. And it's actually a worship event. It's a worship. And so you don't want to just get in the habit of just texting and going, "There it is." You want to, I lift my phone up. I text to give, but I lift my phone up and say, "Lord, this is yours." You know, after I get paid. And so, but you want to be an on purpose giver. When you don't, listen to me, you leave a money trail. You know what that is? You're sowing seed and you're moving forward and the devil coming right in back of you picking it up off the ground. Yeah, because there's no you're being thoughtless about it. So what we need to do is you need to name your seed. That's totally scriptural. To name your seed, and you need to be sowing on purpose. Have purpose to it. Don't just let it go. Here comes the bucket. I'll throw in 20. No, on purpose. This is about considering your ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all receive that? I just want to mention that to you. It was on my heart, and I thought it's good for us every once in a while to remember certain things. We need to consider our ways. Amen. Please welcome Art Lopez.
Were you thankful? Did you say so? Amen. Open your Bibles to Colossians, please. I'm going to show you something about Thanksgiving. I'll get my mic closer to my mouth just in a second. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at Colossians 3. Now, the whole book of Colossians is actually the good ground book. As soon as you start reading Colossians, you'll notice that it was the word of God that came into their hearts, and it produced inside of them, and it created something. It created a move of God in their lives, okay? And thanksgiving, in a form of thanksgiving, is actually mentioned 5 times in Colossians. The word we're going to look at today is only mentioned once in the entire Bible. Okay, so let's start reading at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "We're going to set our mind on things above and not things of the earth." Okay, so when we get to verse 12, "Put on therefore," someone say, "Put on." "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind," say mind, "meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man has quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, for this is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called into one body. And be ye thankful." Glory to God. Something tells me that if I don't put on all these things, it makes it difficult to be thankful. If you read a chapter or two over, you're filled with all kinds of things of the world that just fill your thoughts. But the scriptures are trying to tell us to fill our mind with goodness. Fill it with love. And when you do, the peace of God comes. And when the peace of God comes, you have time to be thankful. Amen. Say, "I'm thankful." This thankful word here is actually a Greek word. It's a compound word. Part of it meaning well or fully. And the second part of that is to grant freely. So we want to fill our minds with the things that are granted freely to us. Does that sound familiar? That's grace. Fill your mind with a work of grace on your life. That's what actually, if you follow the word trail, to be full of the things that were granted freely to me is to be full of the work of grace. Fill your mind of full of grace, to be graceful. That's what makes the word shift over to be called thankful. So when I'm thankful, I'm having on my mind all the time, as often as I can get it there, right? Then I'm so full of God's grace. Now I'm going to give you a definition here. This is straight out of the books. I wish I wrote this. Man, I tell you, I wish I wrote this. The proper definition when you put those two words together, it means thankful for God's grace working out what is eternally good. You know, sometimes we look back and we say, "God, I'm so thankful Thank you for touching my children. Thank you for giving me work. Thank you for bringing me across. I didn't have all the money and you made something happen anyhow. My children weren't coming to church and here they are sitting next to me. My family was headed one direction. You grabbed us and brought us all across all together at one time. I'm so thankful. The second meaning of this word thankful actually says to be mindful of favors. Don't you know it was the favor of God on your life that brought you through? Amen. He says that he's working out. Thankful for God's grace, working out what is eternally good. Say to your neighbor, he's working it out. He's working it out. I'm mindful of favors. Favor made it work out. So this particular word, there's lots of great thankful words in the Bible. This particular word makes you look backwards, says, God, you brought me through, and makes me look forward. Lord, if you favored me before, you'll favor me again. If you did it for me before, you'll do it for me. I'm so thankful, God. If you touched my life before, you'll touch it again. If you revealed yourself to me, you reveal it to my family. I'm so thankful. So thankfulness then is a gate for your future. Your future rushes in when you're thankful. You should open your mouth right now and say, I'm thankful. Activate it. Say, I'm thankful. Thank you, God, for favoring me. Thank you for the past and thank you for the future. Say it again. I'm thankful. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you.
That's awesome. Praise God. I'm thankful. Glory to God. You know, if you're waiting for something to happen, that's what faith does. It thanks. You thank God. You don't just go, well, when's it going to happen? I don't know. It's taking too long. No. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had some projects that I was doing, and I was kept getting roadblocks. The people wouldn't show up and to bid and all that kind of stuff. They just wouldn't. They weren't doing what they needed to do for some projects I was doing. And all of a sudden, I just stopped and said, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have a way. And lo and behold, it clicked off just like that.
Wow.
They got done. Praise the Lord.
Praise,
thank you, Lord, for that. Well, let's go over to Ephesians 1:1. I promised you that I was going to give you a word called guarantee a manifestation.
Hallelujah.
And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I am grateful that it works.
Yes.
Amen. Guarantee a manifestation. Ephesians 1:1. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God to the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So it said the Lord hath, what does that mean? Has already blessed us, are empowered us to prosper with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So that means that everything has already been done. It's been made for us. It's just up to us now. It's up to us to receive what we need to receive from God. It's up to us. It's all done. And so it's just in the other dimension. Everything is in the other dimension, you know, in the glory realm, in the heavenly realm. Amen. There's even a part of heaven that's in you, in Christ Jesus. And so we use our faith to bring that manifestation into this dimension. That's what we do. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but the earth was form and void. It was tohu vavohu in Hebrew. And it didn't, but here's what it said. It said the earth was form and void. It didn't say heaven was. Heaven wasn't. The earth was. So, but what happened? Actually, earth began to get furnished from the other realm. Right? Began to be furnished from the other realm. God spoke and said, light be, and there was light, and it wasn't the sun. That was way down the list there when that happened on those days. God is light. It's light energy that began to exist in the earth. That energy, that power began to move on things and create things. It's a creative power of God. Light is a creative power. Amen. So it's that same energy like when you eat food, and they don't really know how to totally define that. All they know is that food turns into something that gives you energy. You know, unless it's a cookie, that'll give you a spurt of energy. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, I still have cookies from Thanksgiving. Okay, well, you know, you're almost done. Praise the Lord. So, but now think of a picture like this. There's land and then there's underwater, right? So you're walking up on land and then there's water, and let's say somebody is underwater, they're scuba diving or diving, whatever you call it nowadays. So they're diving, and so you see that person under there and they've got their stuff on and they're under there, but then you're on the land. Well, that's the way you need to look at heaven and earth. Heaven's the land, and then we're under there. And so, but you can take what's on the land and help what's under there. You can take what's in heaven and help what is on the earth. Amen. So we can draw things using our faith out of that atmosphere. And a part of that atmosphere is in you. When you were born again, the scripture says you were illuminated. Something happened to you when you were born again. And so when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you confess that with your mouth, light speed comes in you. Amen. And it's light speed up. It's not the, how fast is it? 180?
6,000 miles per second.
Really? Yeah. Okay. It's a lot. It's going fast. Praise the Lord. So, but what we have there is something faster than that. Moving things around on the inside of you. Yeah. And things on the outside of you. Praise the Lord. And so you have this power in you. So we can make a picture of what we want in heaven. And by faith, we can get that picture to draw the earthly counterpart to us. And that's how we get stuff. And then, you know, we'll just go quantum here for a minute. You can speed up particles and get miracles. Amen. In your body, you yield to the Spirit within you. He flows supernaturally in your body. You begin to change. You ought to be able to get healed faster than you can buy a car. Get a car. Amen. It's right here. Praise the Lord. It's right here. The light and the life of the Zoe life of God is right here on the inside of you, empowering you. Release it into your body. Read some John G. Lake. He knew how to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, now I'm going to tell you how to always get a manifestation of what you want. You ready? Okay. Because there are some things that you do. You do. Anything the Holy Spirit tells us to do, anything Jesus tells us to do, He gives us the power to do it. It's called grace. If He tells you to move to Marble Falls and start a church, He'll give you the power to do it. If He tells you to stay there and continue to do it, He'll give you the power to do it. If He tells you to start a business, He'll give you the power to do it. Whatever He's telling you to do, He'll empower you to do that. That's the way He works. He's not void of power. The law won't give you the power, but He will. If He tell you to stop smoking, then you'll be able to stop smoking. Because of grace. He'll empower you to do that. If you drink too much, He'll tell you how to, He can say, stop it, and you'll be able to stop it. Because there's power you can call on. Amen. And, you know, we could go on down the line with that. So, how to get a manifestation every time, I'm going to read Luke 4:16 to you. You ready? Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he entered as his custom was into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today has already hath this scripture been fulfilled. That day when he read that scripture, he fulfilled it by declaring who he was. Now, what did he do? He was reading from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he called me to preach the gospel. Da, 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 da. That's what that scripture says. What did Jesus do? Number one, to get your manifestation, find yourself in the Word. Find yourself in the Word of God. You're in there. You find yourself in the Word. Praise the Lord. Find yourself in the Scripture. You know, this is what people do. They go and they quote what they've heard or what they've learned or read before. Well, you know, I just feel something coming on my body. So by whose stripes I'm healed, by whose stripes I'm healed. And they heard somebody say that. They didn't look at it. They just heard somebody say that. And so they're saying, well, this has some power. It has some power because it's true and it is written. But the truth is you're living off of a memory. You can't live off the memory of a baked potato. You have to eat it. You have to eat the Word. You have to find yourself in the Scripture and eat that Word. Take it in. Get it into your heart, not just into your head, but into your heart. Amen. It will not nourish you until it gets in your spirit. So you have to eat it again. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's good. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Our church, out of it flows the forces of life. Everything that's going to happen happens on the inside of you first. And so you have to protect the inside and get it nourished enough so that it can deal with the outside. And when it deals with the outside, you're going to have what you're saying. But you have to get something in there. Everything, even the negative, even the sickness, whatever. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you're watching, whatever you're doing that's getting all the way to your heart, that heart is going to begin to draw that. And you don't want to draw the negative.
That's right.
Side effects are blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Amen. Okay, so you put your eyes on it. You read it out loud so that your ears can hear it. So it's life to you. It's life like that food energy we talked about. Look, church, whatever you look at is what you touch spiritually. Whatever you're looking at is what you touch spiritually. So you see it with your mind. Our eye, your brain sees it. Your mind sees it. Light comes through your eyes, right?
Yes.
It comes through your eyes, but your brain figures out what it is. Your brain, when I'm looking at you and I'm looking at your blue suit, my brain is telling me you have on a blue suit.
Right.
Your brain has to go in. You have to pick it up. You have to let light in. Well, there's an eye of your heart. That needs to let this eye, the eye of your heart that you can't see physically, is letting in the light that you can't see physically.
Amen.
Amen. And so when the eyes of your understanding gets a hold of these things, then things begin to change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So whatever you mind, you contact. Yeah. So you want to know why people started kidnapping children and doing bad things to them? Because of pornography.
Yeah.
because they watched it and they watched child pornography and they did all that and it got into them. That stuff is so toxic. It's a word. Don't even let that come near you. You'll end up going somewhere you don't want to go. So now, see, when you do this, this is how people get defiled. This is how people get defiled. Whatever you mind, you contact. And not, I'm not just talking about pornography. Anything, whatever you're paying a lot of attention to. TV can do some real good propaganda, make some things really look good. Silly letters that come from the enemy and people are reading and going, oh, it changed my life. No. That's not what the word says. That's not what the truth is. But they can promote a lie that fast, that easy. It can move around quickly. In fact, every person in here has promoted a lie at one time or another. You just passed on what somebody else said. It's really easy to do. But there is a truth. And so there's more than just one dimension, church. And the mind is going to be the connector to that. So if you think you're just living out there in your flesh, if you think, well, I'm just going to live out here in my flesh, and then I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to be in contact with the Spirit so I can get what I want, get what I need. Church, listen to me. You are getting stuff all the time. You're getting what you're believing. That's what you're getting, what you're believing. Praise the Lord. All right. So right now, you're sitting in a manifestation. Happens to be a good one right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So if you're focused on lack, it's quiet in the church. If you're focused on lack, you're sitting in lack. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you have to change that. So that's not what you want, so you change it. Listen to Luke 11:34. Luke 11:34. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. See that? Get that? But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. You know, you're like, well, what would you mean by that? Well, perhaps I believe in the wrong doctrine. Or believe in the wrong thing about somebody. Or how about this? Believe in the wrong thing about yourself. There's a lot of things that we could talk about right here. All right. So if you're filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. So number one, then, is find yourself in the Word. Find verses. Holy Spirit will help you do that. The one that is the answer, put your eyes on it, read it out loud, and think about it. Amen. Okay, I'm telling you how to get a manifestation. Okay? So when you find yourself in the Scripture, you're inquiring. Can you see that? You're walking up to, listen, this Word is God talking. He's talking to you. So when you open it, you're inquiring. What is God saying? That we're not some religious group, church. Well, we better read our Bible and try to follow some. No, this is God talking to you. You just got to get deep enough in it so you don't read it the wrong way. And I don't have time to go there, but you guys know that. All right. So you inquire. That's part of step one, too. John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. Did you get that? This is Jesus talking. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. How many of you are sons of God, daughters of God? Or you're a son of God, you're okay, so whatever Father's doing, that's what I'm doing. Whatever he's doing, I'm doing. Well, will he take away all of our fun? Oh, honey, you're going to have more fun than you've ever had. And you'll have the finances to do it. It won't just be halfway. Your life will be blessed. When you start doing what the Father's doing, glory to God, it starts getting good. You start loving people, you get some love back. You stop thinking you're a nobody because you're somebody, because you're a child of God. People will be drawn to you. Amen. Life will be better. You'll get what you want. Amen. Okay. So Jesus says and does what the Father says and does. He inquired of the Father what to say and what to do. He didn't just speak to that fig tree on his own. He stopped right there and went, that thing is lying. It was lying. Do y'all know why it was lying? It had leaves but no fruit. And it was the season where it should have had fruit. So it's like he had just come out of Jerusalem. He just come from the temple where he's seen a bunch of religious people who are lying but have no fruit. So he's teaching them a lesson. He's not wasteful. He's not wasteful with that plant. He's teaching them a lesson, and he's saying, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. It's over for you. You didn't produce, right? But he got that from the Father. Jesus said then, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. So we can hear his voice and say what he says. He's not holding out. He's talking. The Holy Spirit's talking all the time, church. You just have to tune into the right station. Mac talks on the radio, is it every morning, just about? Every morning, but you can't hear him if you don't turn it on and tune it in. You can't hear him. You have to turn this thing on and tune it in. You start tuning it in when you start inquiring, and you're inquiring when you find yourself in the Word. Amen. So go to the scripture that the Holy Spirit leads you to. Put your eyes on it. Take your time. Father, I'm inquiring of you. What should I look at and what should I say? Let God show you who you are in the Word. And then that brings us to number two. Number two, it's mixed in with number one. You put your eyes on it. You put your mind on it. And everything else needs to be drowned out. Okay. It'll make a, I'll give you, you'll pick up here in just a second. So here it is. You have to flush the negative out with the Word. That's what you're doing. So one and two go together. You have to put your eye on the Word that the Lord leads you to. And that means you have to take some time and you have to seek, because you need to become a voice. You can't just be an echo. You have to have a voice. You can't just repeat what Brother Copeland said or what Art said today. You've got to eat the Word that he preached to you. You have to take it in. You are not a parrot. Parrots are only parroting. They don't even, it's not going anywhere with them. They're just saying it. My grandmother had a little budgie, I guess they call them, those little blue ones. It's parakeet. And my aunt, we call her Aunt, you know. So my aunt's name is Dorothy Jean, because all of us are country people. We all have two names, right? Except for me, I don't, but they all do. So when you'd walk into my grandmother's house, it was the Waltons. I mean, just like that, the same kind of farmhouse and all that stuff. And then there's a long table with those old tall chairs in it and everything. And you'd walk in there and that bird would say, Dorothy Jean is a pretty bird. Dorothy Jean is a pretty bird. But that bird didn't know if Dorothy Jean was a pretty bird or not. Somebody taught him that. Guess who? Dorothy Jean. Right? I love my aunt. She's so precious. She's in heaven now. Glory to God. But that's just the truth. Dorothy Jean taught the bird that. But see, you're not on that level. You are a voice and not an echo. It has to go down in your heart so that when you speak like Jesus spoke. He had an authoritative command. It was launched from his spirit because he had put that in his spirit. When you put what God says to put in your spirit, it's going to come out and it's going to sound like it's God. Amen. Hope you just got that. It'll sound like it's God. Praise the Lord. So you become a voice and not an echo. That's what takes down mountains. That'll take down the mountains right there. That's what will bring up the valleys, is when you become a voice. Praise the Lord. So We don't want to live just every day listening to what the enemy is saying about the situation. We want to live every day listening to what God has said about the situation. What did God say about this? Amen. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. That's the parrot. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So see those words, remember we're talking about those two places. Those words have that spirit life. They have that light on them. They're powerful. They move in you and they move out here when you say them. Praise the Lord. So number one, you inquire and you find yourself in the Word by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Number two, then you meditate on it until you flush out the doubt. Flush out the doubt. You flush out any thought that opposes you having what the Word said about you. Well, you know, I'm probably going to fail at that. Now, that's not what the Word said. That's not what the Word says. Well, I'll probably die young. That's not what the Word says. No. Well, I probably will be poor. That's not what the Word says. No, that's not what the Word says. Well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I can do all things. Praise the Lord. God can do it through you. Amen. So here's number three. We have to understand that the solution to all chaos and trouble of any sort, the answer to how to get what you want or need will be found. So if you want to deal with any of those things, if you need the solution to chaos, if you need the solution to trouble, if you need to get something you want, the answer will be found in two things, the blessing and the favor of God. Amen. The blessing and the favor of God. They're so important. They're so important for you to understand. Jesus paid. He redeemed you. We talked about that a little earlier by his blood. And then he conferred the blessing on you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Deuteronomy talked about the blessing and the cursing. That when you get over there and you start reading the curse part, you need to write up there, I'm redeemed from this in your Bible. I'm redeemed from the curse. Christ redeemed you. The anointed one, the Messiah, paid for you to come out of slavery. You're redeemed from the curse. And you can go in there and say everything you've been redeemed from. Right? So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. That's us. Through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. So you can receive what you want. The blessing belongs to you. This is nothing new to you here. Our people understand this, that the blessing is an anointing that God put on man. It's the empowerment to prosper. That's not new to you. Amen. You know that the blessing is not just the thing you pray over your meal.
Right.
That's a good thing. You need to bless the food. See, that's not the time to pray for Africa, okay? You need to bless that food because you have to eat it, or you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
That food needs to prosper you.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so Proverbs 10:22 says, come on, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. And that word sorrow is actually the word toil. So the blessing removes you from having to toil for everything and causes you to, it's an anointing that causes you to sail into what you need. It makes things work for you. It's a power. It's a force. It's a tool that you should be using instead of doing stuff yourself. It said don't toil. See, you work, God rest. You rest, God works. That's what the blessing does. You come into a place like what I told you a while ago, and I said, Lord, I thank you for the answer to this stuff because, you know, people aren't responding. You handle it. And he did.
Amen.
It's just a whole lot faster to let God do what he needs to do. Amen. Oh, I just pray in the name of Jesus that this group, that this tribe, that this church just is delivered from complaining.
Yes.
So we can have these things and just looking at the black dot. Make it a habit. Praise the Lord. Say what you want. Well, I feel like my body's all broken down. Well, that's really not the thing to say, is it? My youth is renewed like the eagles. Eagles are pretty good. Okay. So, now, remember, church, grace is not the absence of activity. That's not you laying in a hammock. God's going to lead you to do some things. But you need to do what He's telling you to do and not trying to figure it all out and worry about it and everything. Just follow His steps. It'd just be like if I said, okay, walk over here, and then you walked over here, and then I said, well, now walk over here and walk over here. Now say this. Now call them. Or don't call them. You're not in a good place right now. Okay, you see what everybody's talking about? I need for you to, you be quiet right now. Don't talk, whatever it is. You don't need to rush. Just listen to Him and take the steps that He takes. Amen. All right. So, then there's favor. The favor of God is granted out of His goodwill toward us. It's not something that can be bought, and it is not something that can be earned. And church, I want to tell you something. You're not favored because you're so special. No, you're not favored because you're so special. But you become special because you're favored. It's all His. He gets all the glory. You can't go, I'm so special, I'm favored, I mean. No. Thank you, Jesus, for favor. You have to humbly receive that. God make you look good. It's God making you look good. Amen. Church, if you don't feel like you're somebody, you're going to have to get in your sonship and your identity. And you'll start feeling like you're somebody. There's no one on earth that can make you feel accepted, like you want to feel accepted. They'll try, but you're going to be disappointed at some point. That one that loves you the most, you'll be sitting and just talking to them, and they won't even answer you. Hello. And you're thinking, God, am I just chopped liver? But they're just busy in their own mind. Right. You can't always count on someone to do that. But God Almighty is listening, and He loves you. And you need to find your acceptance in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, so the most profound demonstration of favor is Jesus going to the cross. He's going to the cross. That's favor. You didn't have to. You deserved it because you were born with a sin nature. You just naturally sinned. You got that from Adam. Amen. But when you were born again, that changed. You got the redemption. Praise the Lord. I'm really happy about that. And so, you know what? We have, He just showed us mercy. Thank God for that. And because of the price that Jesus paid, we're now entitled to walk in the favor of God. God's not doing you favors. He favors you. And favors come. He's not just doing, I'll do you a favor tomorrow and I'm going to do it. No, He favors you. Everybody in here has someone they really favor. And when that person shows up, you're like, what can I do for you? You're such a blessing to me. You're so sweet. What, you know, there's that person that you just favor. Praise the Lord. Carter Jones. He has Grand's favor. Amen. We were texting last night, and I was just, he's telling me, what are you getting Mom for Christmas? I'm going to get, you know, and he's throwing me kisses on his text. And how sweet. That's a teenager doing that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He loves Grand. But I favor him. You favor somebody. There's people you look around this room and some of them are more your favorites than others. Doesn't mean you don't love everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. Many times God will favor us by giving us the desires of our heart. You know, there's something you want and then you've got it. Amen. Listen to Psalm 41:11. By this I know that you favor me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Amen. And as for me, thou uphold me in thine integrity and set me before thy face forever. The face is the favor. When you face with God, that's the favor. Amen. And favor is forever. Say that. Favor is forever. Look at two people. Tell them favor is forever. And I'm going to tell you something else. God does, you know, the ones that have more favor, and you can see it, you're like, man, God shows them so much favor. You can actually see it on people. Well, it's, the truth is don't get the idea, you need to get this out of your thinking, that God wants to favor one person more than the others. He does. Wait a minute now. He doesn't want to. But he does. Why? Because the ones who are getting it are receiving it. He would love to give you the same favor that Larry Wallace has. If you'd receive it. I think about Stacy Barnhill. He walks in a lot of favor. Why? Because he believed the prophecies years ago and he still believes them. He received it in his spirit. So go ahead and today receive favor. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that every person within the sound of my voice gets a fresh flow of favor. They receive it today knowing that they're a child of the living God that you love. And it's not based on anything they earned or how precious they are. It's based on your love for them and how precious you are, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Receive that today, church. Thank you for it, Lord. So, you eat that favor out of the scriptures too. People who receive it, not just because I raised my hand, I'm in the anointing right now. Yes, you received it, but eat it out of the scripture. Yeah. Find the favor scriptures and read them and talk to them and let God show you one that lights up to you. We're in a set time of favor, actually. That's a good scripture over in Psalms that you can look up. Amen. So, eat those scriptures concerning favor. Now listen, the blessing is the power or ability to prosper, right? Favor is the opportunity. Okay? The blessing is the ability to prosper. Favor is the opportunity. So you're wearing this coat. No, I'm gonna back up. You're wearing the blessing. Let's call it a crown. Let's just say that. No, that's not good. You're crowned with glory. Okay. You're wearing some nice clothes and they're the blessing, let's say. But then you have on this coat of many colors that your father gave you. Amen. And you're favored. And you have to understand Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit loves us all, right? But you have to understand that he's going to make you feel like you're the most important kid on the earth. What happens when you feel that anointing come on you? And we're in these meetings and all of a sudden the anointing gets so strong and you're like, wow, Lord, thank you, thank you. Or something wonderful happens to you and you're so excited and you think, I'm the one. I'm the one. You feel like that. He wants you to feel like that. Now you need to stay humble about that, obviously. But you do feel like that. You're putting on that coat of many colors like Joseph wore. And you're saying, Dad loves me the best. But you better not be flaunting that or your brothers will throw you in the pit. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But that's your opportunity. And people will recognize what you're wearing when they don't even really see it. Exactly. They'll go, I'll pick you. I don't know what it is about that guy, but I really like him so much. I don't know what it is about that gal. She just is, I'm just going to give them the business. I think they do. Yeah. And all of a sudden things will just start showing up. Oh, let me just do that. It just starts happening. So you get to get the best stuff.
Yeah.
See, I have the best dogs.
Yes.
God gave me the dogs for me. Right?
Yeah.
For me, they're the best dogs. Why? Because he favors me. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all know, y'all think I'm going to go there and I'm not. I'm going to give y'all a break today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's really hard, Lord. You're going to have to keep me. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have ability. You just need some opportunity. The empowerment, you just need some opportunity. And you're going to walk out here with it today. And you will have opportunity, and God's light will shine on you. You will have an opportunity. Who is the last person you won to the Lord? I know you're talking to somebody that...
The lady that took the Kringles.
So Deb orders Kringles for people from up north, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So she sends out Christmas Kringles to people because they're the best. Have y'all ever had them? Oh, Mata has, and she's a foodie. She knows. Okay. So Kringles come out hot from the oven, and they're this little circle, and they're just delicious. Anyway, so Deb's calling to get her dad and me and some other people a Kringle for Christmas, and they'll mail them to us. And so she won the lady to the Lord. So what happened? People were probably calling in all the time, but Deb had favor on her. And the lady was willing to listen to her.
Yeah.
Some of them may said, ma'am, I'm just too busy. But they lit up. You know, people will listen to you. They'll listen to you. Irie, they'll listen to you. The favor's on your life. They'll listen to you. They want to know. They'll want to know what's going on with you. You'll find favor within your family.
Yeah.
You'll find favor. Praise the Lord. And my family, you think I was nuts. What is she doing? But not anymore. They don't think that. I found favor with them. They're like, wow, your life's exciting. This is good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, they'll come along because you have the blessing on your life and they have favor.
Amen.
The businesses will work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
They're not working because you're a genius.
Right.
Now, if you think you're so good at what you do, you could get yourself in trouble. You may be good at what you do, but to God be the glory.
True.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, we're not to think higher of ourselves than we ought to. You're not also to think lower of yourself than you ought to.
True.
You just think, I'm a son of God and I'm blessed and he gives me the power to do it and I'm wearing the signet ring and I can go out there and put that stamp on what I want and I can have it in Jesus' name.
Oh, wow.
Amen. It's yours. Woo, I just felt the Holy Ghost on that. You can get it. You can get what you want. You want land? Stand up, land getters. Who wants land right now? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the favor and the ability to prosper, the blessing and the favor, let the land be released to the new owners in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, if you just thought, well, I don't know how it's going to happen, you need to change your thinking.
Amen.
This is about God doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, out there, we're just about landlocked. Everybody wants to live out there. It's sewed up all around us. I'm not giving up.
Oh, no.
Me and my neighbor, you want to sell me your land? No. Do you want to sell me yours? No. We go through that all the time. All the time. Well, I'm still believing.
Absolutely.
I'm believing for that ranch across the street. One of these days they're not going to want it anymore and I'm getting it. And then I'm going to be backed up right to Larry and I'm going to drive up there in my four wheeler and we'll talk over the fence.
Huh?
We'll put a gate in. That's right. And he'll say, just don't be hunting on my property. Y'all think that's too far fetched? I don't think it is at all.
No.
One day, when they're done, I'm not going to covet it. Don't covet land that somebody wants is theirs.
Uh-huh.
But when they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We're doing good. Hallelujah. All right. Opportunities result from being in the right place at the right time with the right people. And you chose one right place today, and it's the right time, and it's with the right people, and prosperity and the anointing for receiving begins today.
Amen.
The anointing to win people to Jesus begins today.
Amen.
The anointing to recover is on you today.
Amen.
Right now, you're going to pursue, overtake, and recover all.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All right. Say this. I have the ability to prosper.
I have the ability to prosper.
I have the favor for opportunities.
I have the favor for opportunities.
I am spirit led. I'm in the right place at the right time. Say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 68:19 said, blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us with benefits. Something should be happening every day. Look for it. How many of y'all go to your mailbox every day? All right. Start going to your spiritual mailbox every day. Okay, what's going to happen today? I'm going to town. I've got to go get this flat fixed. I got to go get something done. I'm going to the grocery store. What's going to happen today? Somebody's going to call me with some good news. Somebody's going to call me and want me to come do something. For me, somebody's going to call me and I'm going to go preach for them. Whatever it is, praise the Lord. Somebody's going to call you and you're going to get the job. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to call you. Get up and look at your spouse and say, somebody's going to call me today and it's going to be good news. It's going to be good news. Somebody's going to call me and it's not just being called to supper. Somebody's going to call me for more than that. Do y'all say supper or dinner? Okay, fancy people say dinner. At our house, it was breakfast, dinner, and supper. Was it? See, me and you from the country. No, no. Oh, San Saba. Well, now you know I'm from the hills. Okay. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, let's close this thing up. All right. Something should be happening every day. And you can really stir that up with these words. I preached this to you before. But the first, when we walk out of here and something good happens, the first thing you say is, that's the favor of God. And get that going again this year, because in 2024, it's going to be like never before. And so expect the good and just start saying, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God right there. That's the favor of God. I bought a new suitcase yesterday and it was the favor of God. It was $450 and I got it for $135. That's the favor of God. And it's a travel pro. It's a fancy suitcase. So, but that's the favor of God. That's for everything, the littlest things. When you get the princess parking, that's favor of God. When you get to come up and do the offering, that's the favor of God. Because you're getting to minister to these precious people. That's the favor of God. Standing behind the holy desk, that's the favor of God. Praise the Lord. All the good that's about to happen to you, just start saying, you know what? That's the favor of God. That was the favor of God. Going to Israel, that's the favor of God. Traveling, when we went to Rome, that was a favor of God. It's a favor of God. Praise the Lord. When you get that land and you sign that, you're down at the title company and it's being signed over to you, you send me a text saying, that's the favor of God. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. All right. Expect the blessing and favor. That was number three, to work every day. Find the blessing and favor in the scriptures and eat them. How to guarantee manifestation. Number one, find yourself in the word. Number two, meditate the word until it flushes out the doubt. And number three, expect the blessing and favor of God to be working on you every day. Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. God is good. We're going to win. We're going to win. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't have any doubt. We're going to win. It's ours. Whatever we're going after, we're going to win. And listen, you may not even know what you want. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you what you want. I've had him tell me, you don't want that, you want this. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. You're right. Or I'm like, I'm going to do this. And he's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. You know, but that's okay. I'd rather be in God's will than anywhere else. Why go off on a trail and try to get him to bless it? I just want to do what he wants. You don't want to know why? Because it's good and it'll be good and it'll be a blessing. You'll be living in the right thing, sleeping on the right thing, being with the right people, driving the right car, eating the right food, wearing the right jewelry, have the right bank accounts. That's all in his plan. You'll be ministering to the right people. You'll win the right people. You'll invite the right people. You'll say things that cause all doubt to leave people. You'll minister to the people from where you're working. Your ministry will just grow this year. It's going to grow. You're like, well, I don't have a ministry. You sure do. For one thing, you belong to this household. And every household member has a chore. Listen to how quiet it got in here when I said that. Now, Pastor Nancy taught me that. Jesse's chore is to lead praise and worship. Deb's chore. These two have chores. You all have chores. Everybody in here has a chore. If you don't have one, we'll find you one.
Yeah, worship and making supply.
Amen. Amen. But besides that, your whole life is your ministry. What running the ranch, that's a ministry. Amen. Doing what you do, that's a ministry. David travels the world and speaks to people. That's his ministry. And he gets a lot of God out there. Real estate, that's a ministry. By the way, Miss Pam, the people over at the EMS love you. I told them you were my friend and it found me favor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We thank you for the years you did that. And I know your next assignment is glorious. I know you have one going now, but you're going to have more. Tell me the name of your daughter-in-law. Haley. Yes, I prayed. And I'm going to pray again right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Haley. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of that. We thank you that all sickness and disease is removed from her body immediately. We thank you that they'll find her body whole in the next x-rays or whatever they take in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. All cancer, all tumors removed in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. And Jim and Joan would appreciate if y'all don't hug them right now. They're having to, her immune system needs to be watched over. So that's why they're coming in late and leaving early. They love y'all. They just didn't want to have to take anything back to daughter-in-law. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. God is good. Friday night at 6:30, we're decorating the church. It'll probably take us about an hour and a half. If you want to come, we'll have some goodies. And we appreciate it if you would come. It's a chore that you could actually do and be a part of and smile and be happy and fellowship with the people in the church. And so you get to. That's right. Praise the Lord. And it'll get all pretty in here. And I know we have Claudia and a few others that I think was it Susanna, a few people that are, and Ramona that are, have already said they're going to come. So we'll have it all out. John will already have the tree up and, he's like, I will, but God tells me, I tell him. Amen. And he do it. He's a faithful steward.
Yes, he is.
Amen. So church, give John a hand. Because John Calvary is my saving grace almost every day. I got a new dryer Saturday. Yeah, it was yesterday, wasn't it? And so I got the, you know, you have to change the plug on it. So I got that all off and got it in there and everything. And so I didn't look up under it, and it's actually coated. Or I probably figured it out, but I was on the phone, John. I know these two whites go together and then, but the green, where's the green, you know, and he's like, I'll be over there in just a minute. He came over there and helped me put the plug on and it's running. And that's, you know, not his day to work, but he did it anyway. And I'm grateful. Isn't that sweet? It's good to have a neighbor like that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, John. And he does so many things for all of us. He's a blessing. Anyway, the tree will be up. The bulbs will be out. The coffee will be brewing. and whatever else we come up with, a snack or whatever. One more thing and we'll go. Thermostats, Tuesday, come to my house, not to here. We're going to release fresh anointings on the prayers, and God's going to give them some fresh assignments for the year 2024. So if you usually come here, come to my house. If you don't know where it is, ask the Holy Ghost. He'll show you. Danny's got it posted. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Danny. Glory to God. All right, y'all ready? Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Live long and prosper.